Good evening, I say good to be with you tonight, and we're going to read a few passages of the Word of God together, and hopefully tonight, by the help of the Spirit of God, we're going to glean something from that. Three of the passages are found in the book of Psalms, so we're going to begin by reading in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 30. Psalmist has collected these thoughts together, and we read this statement from him. We'll only read this particular verse here. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to those that trust in him. Let's go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and we'll read the first couple of verses of the Psalm. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 15. Psalm 103 and verse 15. And the psalmist says, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And finally, a reading in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And verse 15, Joshua chapter 24, and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord. The God will surely add a blessing to the reading of his precious holy word tonight. Now you'll know, right, you'll notice, as we've been reading together, that in each of these verses, there are two little words which appear in them all. And these two little words are as for. And in my simplicity, we're going to call them the as-fors of the Bible. There are very few of them, and there are a few more than this. One of them is repeated in Scripture, but there are not too many as-for in the Bible. We've read four of them, and hopefully tonight, as we gather together, we're going to learn something from these little as-fors of the Bible. Now you'll notice the first. We're not going to go through them in the way that we read them, in the order that we read them, but the first one I want to bring to your attention is found in Psalm 73 and verse 2. And here's what it says: as for me, my feet had almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. I want to put over
that little verse, a little statement, just to remind us what it's all about. And the little statement is this: how much danger? How much danger? I want to ask you a question tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, how much danger are you in? How much danger are you in? Well, the psalmist seems to have picked up on that little statement and brings it to us. And remember, the scriptures, we believe, are the inspired word of God. God has spoken, and the prophets of old and the preachers of old wrote down these words for us and for our learning. And so it would remind us tonight that what we are reading together is something that God wants us to know about. God wants us to understand. God wants us to enter into his thinking in relation to the verses of scripture that we've read together. And tonight I want to ask you a question. If you're stepping along life's road, if you're walking on the pathway of life, where are your feet? Where are your feet? The question, the statement is being asked, and the question is being answered by the psalmist. And he can remember a day. He can remember a moment in time. And here's what he says. He testifies to that moment in time. And here's what he says. But as for me, that's a testimony. I wonder if you were to put yourself into this question, into this verse that we've read together, how would it read? As for me, says the psalmist, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You see, there are those folks today in this world. And it may well be there's someone here tonight, and you're in that very situation, that you're walking as close to the edge of eternity as you possibly can without dealing with the God of eternity. Because you really, the Bible would remind us that we need to deal with the God of eternity on this side of eternity. We need to deal with him as far as our sins are concerned. We need to have our sins dealt with on this side of eternity. Otherwise, when we leave this scene of time and go into the great beyond of God, God will deal with us according to our sins. In this side of eternity, God will deal with us according to his mercy, and according to his grace, according to his loving kindness, the great words of scripture, the great truths of the Bible, grace and mercy and loving kindness. God deals with us in this day and generation, on this side of eternity, in that way. If we step out of time without Christ into the world of God beyond, he'll deal with us according to our sin and according to his judgment and according to his great wrath against sin. How do we need to deal with it? Here's what the psalmist says. There was a moment in time and it dawned upon my soul, says the psalmist, my feet were almost gone. I wonder if that's the question that each one of us needs to think about tonight. Whether we're young or old, we need to consider the question of where our feet are in relation to eternity. My feet are almost gone. My steps are well nigh slipped. Well, the psalmist is putting it in a similar way in two situations, two phrases he uses to get over the point, to get over the fullness, to get over the truth, to get over the danger of this point. And here's what he said. My feet were almost gone. What about you tonight? If your name was in the verse, if you were putting yourself into the verse, would you say, my feet have come back from the age. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm a different person to the one that was all these years ago when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for myself. I've changed. I'm a new person. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm a new boy. I'm a new girl. No longer are my feet about to slip. No longer are my steps about to be gone. What about you tonight? Where are you in relation to the eternity of God? Where are you in relation to your sin? What have you done? How much danger are you in? How much danger are you in? You know, there used to be a story told from preachers of the old time. And they told the story of a man who was
a woman, who had a great mansion house, and she was a very wealthy lady. And she, her driver was retiring, the driver of her carriage, her horse's carriage, was due to retire. And so she advertised in the paper for a new driver. And when it came to the days of the interview, there was a couple of people came along for an interview. And the first man she spoke to, and she said, I want you to tell me about driving my carriage and how you would drive my carriage. I want you to tell me about a cliff face and how you would drive my carriage along the edge of a cliff. And he said, the first driver who she spoke to said, you know, I could take your carriage to about a meter of the edge of any cliff, and you'd still be safe as safe could be. And so she went on to the next man. And it's the next man, the next driver came along, and she said to him, tell me about driving this carriage. How would you deal with a cliff face? And me as a carriage, how would you get? He said, you no need to worry. I could take your carriage to within an inch of the edge of a cliff, and you'd be absolutely safe. And she went on to the third man. And sitting in front of her was an elderly gentleman, and she said to him, what about my carriage? How would you deal with my carriage on the edge of a cliff? He said, my dear, I would never take your carriage anywhere near the edge of a cliff. You're far too precious. I want to tell you tonight, from the word of God, where are your feet in relation to the cliff edge of eternity? And I say this to the psalmist, I can remember a day when my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you going to stay back from the edge of eternity? Are you going to walk into eternity without God? Are you at that point that it may well be that your feet could slip and your steps would be gone and you'd get to eternity without God? How much danger. That's important tonight as we consider the gospel, because the gospel is a story of good news for those who are in danger of ending up in an eternity without God. That's what the gospel is all about. It's about a Savior who came from heaven to die at Calvary, to save men and women, boys and girls, who are on the road to a lost hell. But you notice, not only does the psalmist talk about his feet, he said, as for me, my feet have well nigh slipped. But notice what he says in Psalm 103 in verse 15. He says this, as for man, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And he says, the place of it will soon remember it no more, because the wind's going to blow, and it's going to disappear. I want to put over that little verse, not this time how much danger, but how little time. How little time. Now, I can remember very clearly as a boy looking at the life that laid out before me in normal terms and thinking, well, I don't really have to make a decision about these things just now. And if I just leave it on, time eventually I'll think about it. And what I hadn't realized was this, that the Bible warns us very clearly not only of the possibility of our feet slipping, but the time slipping. The time slipping. How little time. My mother used to have a statement that she would make regularly, and I didn't know what it meant when I was a boy, but I understood it later on. And here's what it was. Procrastination is the thief of time. Procrastination is the thief of time. And the psalmist is looking at life in general. He's looking at the life of the human in this world. And here's what he says. As for man, his deeds are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is God. And there in the scriptures, he reminds us of the brevity of time. We sing it, don't we? The sands of time are sinking. And the moment of salvation, the moment of repentance, the moment of dealing with the friend of this world often comes before us. And sometimes we put it off. And we use that, we procrastinate. We put it off. And the time moves on again. And I want to tell you, when I was a boy, I can understand, I can remember occasion after occasion, putting it off and leaving it and saying, I don't want to do it today. But the God of mercy spoke to me when I was only 10 years of age. And I put it off a few times before then. I understood it all. I understood what it meant to be a sinner. I understood what it meant to get saved. My family, my mother and father, converted. Three older sisters converted, going to heaven. And I can remember that on these occasions of putting it off. I didn't really want to do it. Didn't want anything to do with it. And yet, the God of mercy continued to speak. But here's the statement of Scripture. As for man, his days are as grass. His days are as grass. Now we used to carry on our back lawn and think, well, our grass has been there for years, you know. And sometimes it looks as if it's been there for years. You know, if you look at the front grass in my house, you think, well, it didn't look after it very well. It's been there for years. But that's not what the psalmist is thinking about. He's thinking about the grass which gets blown by the wind and the heat burns it up. And I don't know if you've noticed that we've obviously had rain over the last few days, but just before that, many of the fields around about the country, the grass is beginning to dry up. Now, we don't see that often in this country, but if you go away to the Middle East, that happens every year. The grass is green for a wee while when it's nice and fresh, and then it gradually burns up, and it goes to nothing. And the wind blows over it, and it fractures, and it blows, and it disappears, and it's gone. That's the picture that the psalmist is trying to get to us here tonight, of a grass which is burning up. For lack of sustenance, lack of water, lack of freshness. And you know, in this world today, we have to understand that the men and women of this world, and we're involved in that, there's a sense in which we're burned up by the lack of freshness, by the lack of water. And that's one thing that the Lord Jesus said when he was here in this world. I am the water of life. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst. That's the water that we need. That's the person that we need, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you notice, as we read the scripture together, first of all, how much danger we're in. Peter almost went. And how little time we have. How little time we have. As for man, his days are as the grass. But you know, also we looked at some lovely, a lovely verse Psalm 18, it's a beautiful verse. It's one that's come across my mind often in recent times. And here's what it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is at his side. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. I'm going to put to you tonight that in our world today, and many of you have today, there are two ways. Now, the Bible talks about two ways. It talks about a broad way, a broad road that leads down to destruction. But it talks also about a narrow way that leads to life. But also we can think about it from our own life's perspective. There is a way that we would want to go. That's our natural desire. Says the scripture, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. It's our own way. That's the way that most of us want to go, isn't it? But that's not what the scripture, that's not what the psalmist has noticed. The psalmist brings us something tonight which is vastly more valuable. And here's what he says, as for God, his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect.
The Bible talks about the way of salvation.
The Bible talks about God's way. And that is in the opposite to our way. Isaiah writes and he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so high, so much more are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The way of the Lord, as for God, His way is perfect. And sometimes in life we come across a barrier. And sometimes in life we come across difficulties. And sometimes we need to understand that it's not our way, it's God's way. And God has laid out before us, as far as salvation is concerned, God has laid out before us the absolute perfect way, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that He came out of heaven. We would never have thought of this as a possible way of salvation. But the Lord God of heaven sent down His Son out of heaven to die at Calvary, that you and I might have salvation. That's His way. To die a felon's death. To be crucified on the cross of Calvary, that we might have salvation. As for God, His way. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that something worth holding on to today? Isn't that something we should value as we read the Word of God? The way of the Lord. As for God, His way is perfect. And tonight we want to put over that little statement. What a great Savior. A great Savior. God's Savior came out of heaven. We would never have thought of this way. It would never have entered this to the heart of man. What God has devised for our salvation. The Bible tells us never entered into the heart of man what God has put stored up for those that are His. How good is that? We certainly would never have entered into the heart to deal with our sin in the way that God did it. As for God, His way is perfect. What a great Savior. And in the statements of the Word of God, which talk about the way of God, in the very center of it, is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. As for God, His way is perfect. We'll come to a final verse that we're going to think about tonight. It's found in the book of Joshua. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. We read it together. And here's what it says. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," said Joshua, "we will serve the Lord." Now you notice the statement of the Word of God here says this, and it's a thing that I hadn't really noticed until I read it again, and here's what it says: "If it seem evil unto thee to serve the Lord." Now that's a strange thing, isn't it? That's where the world is tonight. That's where the men and women outside of Christ are tonight. That's maybe where you are tonight. When they ask you that question, as a person, as an individual, is serving the Lord seem an evil thing to you? That's where the people of God have come to when Joshua spoke to them. They've come to a point where it seemed as if it was an evil thing to serve the Lord. Then he says to them, "If it seems an evil thing to you to serve the Lord, then I need you to choose." And you'll notice the choices he gives them. These are serious things, I think. These are serious things. "Choose you this day whom you will serve," says Joshua. Notice the two choices. "Whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or whether the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." What a choice. You see, God sometimes gives us the point. God sometimes gets us to the point where the choice of choosing from him is ours. The choice of choosing from him is no longer with us. And the great man of God brings these people to a point, and he speaks very clearly to them, and he says this: you've got two choices. You want to serve the gods of the Amorites that you're dwelling amongst at the minute? I want to ask you a wee question. Do you want the world as it is at the minute? Do you want the things of the world as they are at the minute? Is that what you want? Maybe one of the choices you've given. What about the
gods that were on the other side of the flood?
Some would suggest that's the other side of the sea, but I don't think that's what Joshua is thinking about. I think he's thinking about the gods that Abraham left. I think he's thinking about the gods that Abraham left the way back to Ur of the Chaldees. These awful gods. Gods that he was glad to be away with, that men of faith would have nothing to do with. He came out of the land altogether, he left them all behind. A man of God. A man who was marked by faith. We read the scripture, we find that everyone who follows after the ways of Abraham are the men of faith in the Bible. Wonder what it is you want tonight. Is it you want the things you're going to leave? Are you going to take the things that are around about us just now? Are you going to take the things that maybe other folks have left long years ago? Are you going back to these things that people left? How sad it is when folks go back to the things of life. But here's what Joshua says, beautiful things that Joshua says. But as for me and my house, you will serve the Lord. Now that's a beautiful statement. That's a statement of absolute encouragement to those folks who were there. He said, if you want to follow someone, you can either follow these gods of the past. Go with them if you want. But if you want to follow Christ, you want to follow God, you want to follow the Lord, you follow me. I want to ask the question to me, who are you following? Who are you following? Who is at the center of your life? Who is the person that you're following after? Is it something in the world that's gnawing at your heart's door? Is it something in the world that you're desiring? Well, it's almost as if Joshua has said, we're going to split the point here. You can go your own way. I know which way I'm going. That takes strength of character. That takes help of God. And tonight, if it's possible, may well be someone in here tonight. And in your life, you've come to the things of this world. You've come to things that you once left behind. You've come to things that are no longer of any value to you at all. And you're looking for something suffer from them. But I tell you tonight, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. And here's what Joshua says. Here's the crossroads in life. As for me and my house, you will follow. That's something to be thought about, something worthwhile to be thinking about tonight as we're together. Put over these verses. How great a change. How great a change. Oh, we're thinking about how much danger, and we've been thinking about how little time, and we've been encouraged by it in our heart by thinking about how great a Saviour. You know, when God works in people's lives, we see a marvelous change. And that's what Joshua was looking for in these people. And that's what God is looking for in our lives tonight. What a great change. That's what he's looking for. I wonder tonight if you're willing to make that change. Repenting of our sin and coming by faith to the Lord Jesus for the eternal. I will finish. Look to God that He will speak to your heart.
bringing bring you to Him for salvation. So we ask our blessing now for our gathering together.
Now, Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the warnings that we found in it. We thank Thee for the value of it in our minds and hearts. And we pray for a real blessing upon it tonight as we've been reading it together and considering what it means to us. We pray, Father, that Thou speak to our hearts. That our hearts might be uplifted, that we might be very much aware of our particular need before Thee, and that Thou would bring us to Thyself in faith and repentance. So we seek Thy blessing, and we ask it now in the Saviour's precious and holy name.